You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Gym Class on KGYM on this Friday as we come your way through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in a moment. Good show coming up for you. Dan Shonka of Arlat Scouting Service will join us. Our first look at the 2021 NFL Draft. Who is coming out? Who is staying? And there's All-Star Football coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that with Dan here in just a little bit. We'll take a look at Iowa, Illinois coming up tonight in Champaign-Urbana. And a look back at a milestone victory for Iowa State women's basketball coach Bill Fenley last night. And what in the world is wrong with the Michigan State Spartans? All that coming up on the program today. You're invited to join us here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM Stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker. We are available on each of those entities as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Todd Brommelkamp's show with Alex Kuhn will follow us from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And then we've got basketball coming your way tonight. I had to change. It's an ever-changing motion, if you will, as far as the world of basketball is concerned. Had to change one of our games last night. Another one time-changing tomorrow. We will have Washington hosting Linmar tonight, and that will get underway this evening at 5:50 on 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, as we kick that one off, the girl-boy doubleheader. And then on 106.3 FM coming up tonight at 7:15, it'll be boys MVC basketball as the Xavier Saints will take on Iowa City West down at West High tomorrow. Center Point Urbana hosting Marion. The game has been moved up due to the weather moving in, and it will now be a late morning, early afternoon girl-boy doubleheader starting off at 10:45 a.m. on 107.5 FM now for Marion at Center Point Urbana. That'll be the girls' game followed by the boys' game right after that. And more changes coming up next week as unfortunately, the MVC is taking a hit right now. The Waterloo East, Waterloo West games tonight are off. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette, who covers high school basketball, among other things at the paper, reporting a quarter of the teams, four of the 16, are now on the boys' side, at least right now, shut down due to the effects of the pandemic and COVID-19. So we'll get through it, hopefully. Fingers crossed. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. And that is our phone line as well. Same digits, 319-366-1600. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, Scott. Buttons, how are you doing, everybody out there? Looking forward to very exciting, what promises to be an exciting game tonight in Champaign. And visiting with Dan Shonka, there's so much to ask him about the upcoming NFL draft. And, yeah, looking forward to that in just a few minutes.
Yeah. And, yes, Ralph in Riverside on the text line will keep you up to date on the cut line at Torrey Pines. I think Ralph may have some cash on some golfers. I'm just saying that. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
You may well, Ralph, but right now it's minus one and looks like it might go to even because there's a myth about San Diego. It isn't 72 and sunny every day.
No.
It's about 55, 60 degrees, rainy right now, lousy conditions.
And they're playing one of the two golf courses where the U.S. Open is going to be played in June. The South Course, which is tough and even tougher right now. Ralph, we will do our best to keep you updated on that. 319-366-1600 as we take you through the Friday edition of the show. Very much looking forward to talking to Dan Shonka in about 15 minutes or so as our first look at the 2021 NFL draft. But first, a little college basketball. Of course, we're very excited to look forward to Iowa and Illinois coming up tonight. The only regular season meeting between the Hawkeyes and the Fighting Illini. And we'll see if we have any scrums tonight or if both teams are playing nice out on the court. There's not a lot of love lost between the Hawks and the Illini over the years, including right now. But we do start off with some sad news today as Temple University announcing that John Chaney, the longtime men's basketball coach for the Temple Owls, passed away today at the age of 89. And John Chaney took Temple to just amazing heights as far as college basketball. A lot of people say he may have been the best coach to never take a team to the Final Four. And that might be the case. Never had very many of your blue chip four, then what would be four-star and five-star guys. He had two- and three-star guys, a lot of them from tough backgrounds that he molded into terrific basketball players and a cohesive team unit in Philadelphia at Temple, and won numerous A-10 titles. And all but I think one of his seasons, I know he took Temple to 18 NCAA tournaments, had the Owls rated number one on a couple of different occasions, but just could not get over the hump to that Final Four.
Yeah, he was a trailblazer for black head coaches, and he did it on the court with terrific defense usually. That's what I remember about John Chaney, and he's a complicated individual. I mean, he was fiery. He once threatened to kill John Calipari after a 1994 game when Calipari was at UMass. And, of course, Chaney got suspended for that. But on the flip side, he was very much a role model for his players, many of whom didn't have much of anything before they got to Temple. And he molded them not only as basketball players but individuals. And I think there's many stories out there that some of his players wouldn't be what they would become without John Chaney. So, and Fran McCaffrey, I'm sure, would have a story or two about John Chaney. Fran from Philadelphia, after he completed his playing career at Penn, he spent a year coaching at Penn. I think that was about the time Chaney arrived at Temple. I could be wrong about that, but I'm sure Fran McCaffrey at some point will have something to say about John Chaney.
Yeah, just like you said, a trailblazer, not only for just coaches in general, but for African-American coaches out there. And John Chaney definitely will be missed out there at the age of 89. And yeah, it's unfortunate because I think that most people are probably going to remember that dust up between, it was more than a dust up. If you go back and, or if you remember it, if you go back and look at it, yeah, John Calipari at UMass back then, and they were 1-2 in the A-10 when they were both there competing in the league, and Calipari won a big game and started going off on the officials, and John Chaney stormed in there and actually had the back of the officials, and it escalated from there, and yeah, and hopefully that is not what most people think about when they think about John Chaney off the bat.
No, that was an ugly situation. He also got in trouble for sending a player in to intentionally foul late in the game. And, you know, that's kind of commonplace anymore, I guess. But it was the way in which he did it, hard fouls and whatnot. But again, Chaney was a complicated individual. There was that side and the other side that we already talked about.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on your remembrances of the great John Chaney. Before we get to Iowa, Illinois, got to ask this, Mark. What in the world is wrong with the Michigan State Spartans? That was an absolutely epic low point, I think, for Michigan State basketball last night. Take nothing away from Rutgers, who's starting to get it all together, folks. Most teams go through a little bit of a of a low spot during the season. Rutgers went through theirs. I think it was fortunate that Iowa got Rutgers when they did at that point. But the Scarlet Knights have too much talent with Geo Baker and Ron Harper and Johnson and others to not be a big-time player in the Big Ten standings. But my goodness, what they did to Michigan State last night was that was medieval. Holding Michigan State to 37 points last night.
Yeah, 30-point win, and I watched some of it, and I just said, hey, this can't be Michigan State. Now, Rutgers is playing better. There's no doubt about it, as you illustrated. But my goodness, 37 points in 40 minutes and getting beat by 30, that's not the Sparty that we've come to know. Of course, Michigan State was down for 3 weeks because of COVID situations. But as we talked to Kevin Lehman yesterday, he pointed out several situations that teams came back from layoffs, didn't show heavy legs, and actually played pretty well. Not the case with Michigan State. And we're going to see next Tuesday up and close when Michigan State comes to Carver-Hawkeye Arena.
Yeah, I was going to get Sparty a couple times very quick, back-to-back. Joey Hauser had only 6 last night. Michigan State shot 16 of 56. They shot 20% from three-point range, only made 4 of them. Had 19 turnovers in that game last night, but that's just Tom Izzo looks like he has aged 10 years since last season on the bench. This you can tell this is really wearing on Tom Izzo, and no one's going to shed any tears for Tom Izzo in Michigan State. That's the first thing, and we understand that. But just see what has happened, at least this season, to the Michigan State program is just pretty remarkable. Now, the Spartans are still 8-5, mind you. And if they take care of business, probably will still go to the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But this is, you're used to seeing Michigan State get 37 with about 3 minutes remaining in the first half, not as they're leaving the rack last night in Piscataway.
Yeah, your point about making the NCAA tournament, I don't know if that's going to be the case if this continues for Michigan State. Again, we'll find out Tuesday when Michigan State visits Carver-Hawkeye Arena. I didn't think Michigan State was going to have a title-contending team in the first place. I thought it got a lot of its recognition, maybe continues to get the same based on reputation. This is just not a very good basketball team.
No, it is not. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Speaking of bracketology, and, you know, right now especially, this is, I'm not even sure this and a quarter will buy you an old-fashioned cup of coffee. This and maybe 50 cents will buy you an old-fashioned cup of coffee. I'm trying to see if Jerry Palm has Michigan State in his grouping here. Rutgers is a 9. By the way, Iowa is a number 2 at the present time. Iowa a number 2 in the Banker's Life 2 bracket, Mark. That's unusual.
Yeah.
Drake a 10 in the Banker's Life 1 bracket, though, by the way. That's good to see. I do not see Michigan State, so maybe they have fallen out as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned, which would kind of shock me a little bit.
It would shock a lot of people, and I would say if this doesn't turn around in a hurry and in a big way, that's the way it's going to end this season for Michigan State without an NCAA berth. Can it be turned around? I don't know, based on what I saw last night.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. 20 minutes past the hour of 3, let's get to the main event coming up tonight, and that is Iowa and Illinois. Will C.J. Frederick play? Will he sit this one out? How will the teams get along on the court and off the court, especially without a crowd at the, State Farm Center, Assembly Hall, whatever the heck they're calling it these days, over there in Champaign-Urbana. But it's an 8 o'clock game tonight. FS1 will have it And it should be a very, very interesting game. Couple things that you are looking at, Mark, that jump out to you anyway as you take first blush at this game?
Yeah, Iowa's ability to control Osunmu. I think the Coburn-Garza matchup will be, if not Garza, a slight edge, a standoff, so to speak. And then whether Iowa can right the wrong that was in the Indiana game, the second half of that Indiana game when the offense went way south. Iowa couldn't make anything. Jordan Bohannon didn't have a very good game. Now, historically, Bohannon has played very well and shot the ball very well in his Iowa career against Illinois. These teams have had some time off, and Iowa, I think, 8 days. And how it bounces back, we'll see. Illinois hasn't played in 10 days. Iowa in 9 or in 8, so I don't think it'll make a huge difference, but it's something to watch.
Illinois is not a tremendous defensive team, by the way. A little bit better than Iowa as far as their statistical stand is concerned. I will tell you two guys tonight, one of them especially, but the second one, I think the two guards, the freshman Adam Miller and Trent Frazier, are going to be the two keys to this game tonight. Miller is an absolute pure shooter, and Iowa has to recognize him tonight. He's had his moments in his freshman season. He's had a couple of minor shooting slumps, but he can absolutely fill it up. And Trent Frazier, of course, was one of the folks that got in the little dust-up last year. But Trent Frazier has that ability to get hot at times. Iowa must find those two. Dosunmu's going to get his. And we talked about it with Kevin Lehman yesterday. Io Dosunmu is going to get to the bucket. Now, you can take twos, but do you really want to give up what Gonzaga did? And that is the dribble penetration and the kickouts to Frazier and to Adam Miller and get those threes. That's what Iowa can't do. I think Iowa's going to play a lot of zone tonight, and I think it could be a little bit of a higher-scoring game this evening. But remains to be seen. I think it's going to be fun.
I'd agree with you. Illinois has shown some chinks in its armor, but it's just a very capable basketball team. Fran McCaffrey has had a week to figure this thing out, how to not only attack Illinois but defend it. I think Iowa's bench with Nungy and Murray and Toussaint and perhaps others, Patrick McCaffrey, is going to bode well, or should bode well, or for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Just a fascinating matchup. A lot of folks been waiting a long, long time to see it.
Yeah, I think the game's going to deliver, too. I really do. I think it will deliver, and it will be one that will come right down to the wire. Tell you what, if Iowa can sneak one out on the road, and they have had their problems at Assembly Hall over the years, as you know, Mark, there was a while that Iowa went one for about two decades over at Illinois, and there have been some public enemies number ones over there for the Illini, sharpshooters to burst Iowa's bubble over the years. But if Iowa can come away with a victory here and stay within one and steal a road win, you got to like your chances. But as on the text line, 2723 reminds us, watch Sparty come in Tuesday night just on fire. which may happen. Who knows? Garza against Kofi Coburn's going to be good in the middle. It's a different matchup than Trace Jackson Davis. Not quite the foot speed or the ability to jump. Coburn's one guy that's probably is bigger than Luka Garza in the Big Ten that he's going to face all year. And how is that going to play out? If you're Illinois, I'm thinking you're probably looking at the fact Coburn cannot get into foul trouble Or if you're Iowa, Luka Garza can't get into foul trouble. Perhaps both those guys neutralize each. I don't know. That's gonna be one of the interesting subplots to this game tonight.
Well, I think another big thing is there's no crowd, and that Illinois crowd can be quite hostile, especially towards Iowa and its players. Even though home teams have done pretty well in the Big Ten, I think that's a big factor tonight. Not even my friends in the Champagne Five can get in tonight. So
they tried, I'm sure.
True.
They did. They tried. Of course, that could be interesting as well, because we may hear everything that goes on the court tonight, and that might not be a good thing. I hope that Fox has their at least 7-second delay going this evening. I know they do, but I kid. Hopefully, like I said, it will not turn in that direction tonight, and it'll just be a very solid and a very good basketball game.
I echo that, and when you think we've broken it down from every angle, something will happen tonight that we didn't anticipate.
Of course. Kind of the way it goes. Every time I think of Illinois at Assembly Hall, why do I think of Doug Altenberger? Because he went off for his career game against Iowa. That's why. Doug Altenberger. 319-366-1600 as we get ready to talk to Dan Shonk of Arlat Scouting Service here at 326. Before we do that, I want to remind you that Bergen KDV knows the power of community, and that's why we are proud to partner with them to bring you ICR Strength. As part of ICR Strength, we're working together to recognize some of the outstanding businesses here in the corridor for Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Find out more by going to our website at kgymradio.com. We'll take a break, come back, going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, which is not far in the offing. And we'll do that with Dan Shonk of Our Lads Scouting Service after this here at KGYM.
When we first came here, we missed my food from home. I thought Jamaican food would work really well.
We're talking with Robert McLean about his big dream. Midwest One Bank got him started with a home equity loan, checking, credit cards, a commercial real estate loan, and more.
Midwest One Bank make it very easy for me to get a loan.
Robert now owns a restaurant.
And I decided to call it Island Vibes. And people line up, and they love our food. Come to Island Vibes.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to credit approval.
Hey folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. What better way to celebrate the 55th edition of the big game than with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook? If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when the Chiefs play the Buccaneers. That's right, you can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February 7th. Chiefs Kingdom, if you think that your team can stifle Tom Brady, 55-1 odds. And this is just one of many reasons to use FanDuel. They have tons of odds boosts and specials, not only every day, but they feature big super boosts each weekend. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code KUHN to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Sam's new project needs a project manager right away if she's going to manage to hit her deadline.
It took an extra week to get approvals, but they still want the original delivery date. I guess we'll figure something out.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, so you've got an oil change to do. We can get you everything you need. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $26.99, plus a $5 bonus reward if you're an AutoZone Rewards member. Not a member? We can sign you up fast right here in store or on AutoZone.com. Getting the job done just got easier. Terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And welcome back at 3:30 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. High school hoops coming up tonight for you. We'll have the girl-boy doubleheader between Linmar and Washington. And that will be at 5:50 on 107.5 FM, the Gym OT. 106.3 FM coming up tonight at 7:15. It will be Xavier at Iowa City West in boys basketball. And then tomorrow, just to let you know one more time, the girl-boy doubleheader between Marion and Center Point Urbana has been moved up to a 10:45 start time for that one. That's the pregame, 11 o'clock with the tip-off for the girls' game with the boys' game to follow. So we'll have those games for you right here on KGYM, and more basketball coming up. By the way, the pods are out for classes 3A and 4A for boys, and they have done a pretty good job, I think, of moving people around and getting all of the pods very equal as far as that is concerned, Mark. And the big news today, and we'll see if this is something that is just for 2021 and for the pandemic here as we work our way through it. But for this year anyway, at the state basketball tournament, for the boys' state basketball tournament, Mark, we are consi-free.
Yeah, and consolation games are officially suspended for this year. I guess the state association reserving the right to resume them the following season and beyond. But I had to look it up, Scott. They've been holding consolation games at the boys' state tournament since 1912. And that was before the state even sanctioned basketball, which came in 1923. And it's taken, having covered multiple state tournaments, as you have, Scott, I hated consolation games. Perhaps coaches and players felt differently. You know, on the one hand, it's a chance to get that one last win, or it's a chance to end your season with two straight losses. And to get up and play a 9 or 10 o'clock a consolation game, which essentially means nothing to anybody, I'd like to see it done away with, period. You know, it's great that after you win that first round game, you're guaranteed two more, but again, I'm sure coaches, players, maybe even fans feel differently, but I saw no use to it. Much like I saw there was no purpose for the sportsmanship award. I know they did away with that a couple years ago, thankfully so.
Yeah, but they've redone it and restamped it, which is what needed to be done.
Well, it was a first round loser who graciously and not sometimes not so graciously lost, as you know.
Hey, I have heard everything in the books under the sun sitting. It wasn't so bad at Vets because, you were up higher, but everything at Wells Fargo was heard. And I think that's what finally got rid of it.
Well, there was no way to judge it, for one thing.
No.
I know administrators, cheerleaders, and whatnot coveted the award, so there's that as well.
Yeah. Before we get to Dan here, who's probably just resonating with our talk here of consies, Cajun Troy in the text line, yes, and not only John Chaney passing away, but the great Cicely Tyson yesterday, the great actress, multi-time award winner, and she will be missed as well. 319-366-1600. If you have a question for Dan about a particular player who will be getting ready for the draft, we can field that and pass that along to Dan Shanka of Our Lad Scouting Service, joining us here for the first time in 2021 to talk a little bit about the upcoming NFL draft. And Dan joins us from beautiful, sunny, comfortable, warm. Did I miss anything in Arizona?
Palm trees and beauty and the mountains. It's great. We were just out, you know, and it's nothing like being in shorts and t-shirt, you know, in the middle of the winter.
That hurts, man.
That hurts big time.
And I go by, well, my son was golfing yesterday, but I go by those golf courses. I mean, they're, you know, they're just bright green, you know, the fairways. Now, the roughs are a little rough, but, the it's, but you know what? It was, it got way down into the high 40s last week, so.
We're not feeling bad for you.
Dan,
but you know what, it was
Dan, would you typically be in Mobile this time of year?
I tell you, you know, this is, I'll give you a quick story. Usually, yeah, we go down to Mobile, but when I was scouting with the different teams, you know, they said, who wants to go to the Hula Bowl? Who wants to go to the Senior Bowl? I said, I'll go to the Hula Bowl. Okay, so we go to Hawaii, my wife and kids and everything. We go to Hawaii. We went, I think, 5 years in a row or something. But I had to go to the Snow Bowl, which is up in North Dakota first, and then I'd meet the family out in San Francisco. Then we'd fly to Hawaii. But anyway, you know, the reason I didn't like going to the Senior Bowl is because it was always raining down there, and they'd have practice in parking ramps underneath, you know, where they can walk through, or a big, or in a dining hall, or and so I said, heck with that, I'm gonna go to, I'll go to Hawaii. And so I'd always call back, and I'd say, well, hey, how's it going back there? Oh, Dan, man, it's miserable, it's raining again. I said, you know, excuse me, there's a palm tree in my way here. I can't quite see the, you know, and it's 70 degrees in Hawaii and beautiful, and they're suffering the Senior Bowl. I looked at the Senior Bowl tape to grade it, however, but I love being in Hawaii. So, but now we're suffering in Arizona. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, we do have football coming up this weekend, and it's different, obviously, for you guys. It's different for the coaches. It's different for all the talent evaluators in 2021. But adjustments are being made, and we're still going to have some. We're still going to have some football. So you're going to have some tape and film to look at.
Oh, absolutely, Jim Nagy. They did a really nice job, as you guys know, that I'm the personnel director for the East West Shrine Game, and we did pick a team this year, but we didn't play because there was so many obstacles and hoops to jump through and all that, and rightfully so. I mean, it was, you know, but, you know, the game's held in Florida, and but anyway, I talked to Jim Nagy, you know, probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I mean, he was just, he said, we got to have this game no matter what, because for the economy, which, you know, a lot of people didn't come as they usually do to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, but anyway, he was insistent that they were going to have a game, and the guys that came in were tested before they got on the plane. When they got there, they were tested again, and so far they hadn't had any negative tests, and that was as of yesterday, and I haven't heard anything today yet, but you know, they haven't had any, which is amazing when you bring guys from all over the country in there and not have a negative test. I mean, it was shocking. But anyway, a lot of guys got some good exposure. We got some verified height, weights, and speeds, or excuse me, heights, weights, arm lengths, hand size, all that on guys, which, you know, I hate to say it, and we talk about this every year. You know, we're trying to get football players, maybe not a track team, but, you know, you still got to have those measurables to, you know, have a little bit of analytical look to these guys.
Dan, I'm fascinated, as are many, about the quarterback position in this year's draft. And it's only complicated by perhaps Watson's going to be on the move, Stafford's going to be on the move, Goff may be on the move. But Trevor Lawrence, the presumptive number one pick going to Jacksonville. And then you got a handful of guys like Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. How do you sort them out?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And I think early, you know, right now, of course, the only one that played this weekend was Mac Jones, and he had it from Alabama, and he just had a tremendous year. And but he doesn't have what the other guys have, and that's mobility. You know, he's not a real mobile guy. And you know, the more things change here in the NFL, you're looking for a quarterback that can get you that 3 yards when you need it, or 4 yards and what have you. And and Mac, he just not a real – he's an athletic guy, but he's not a fast, you know, really get you those extra yards kind of player. But I tell you, he's super smart. He reads defenses extremely well. He throws that ball with great anticipation, and all that to me means a lot. So I think that, you know, he's going to be in the first round. We're probably looking at, you know, 5 first round quarterbacks, and a guy that I think is going to, I mean, they're still going to be fighting through this here until maybe the day or the night of the draft, but Trey Lance only played 1 year, you know, at North Dakota State. He played one game this year against Central Arkansas, which was a, you know, I mean, Central Arkansas had already played 4 or 5 games, and they played North Dakota State. North Dakota State beat him, but Lance looked, you know, rusty like you think he would. But I think Trey Lance is going to be the hot, you know, the hottest thing going as we go through this process, because he can really throw it. His workouts have been super, and he's an athletic guy, and he's almost 6'4", about 230, and he can run. He probably runs 4.55, you know, and he's got good anticipation. And you know, at North Dakota State, they read the whole field too. It's not just like, you know, in spread formations, you know, you're reading part of the field. He reads the whole field, and he's got. And they run a pro-style offense there. So I think that you know, some people, you know, Justin Fields' problems, maybe holding on the ball a little bit too long, or, you know, he had those rough games against Indiana and, against Northwestern early in the, you know, the first game. He had some problems that, you know, people want to see if he'll overcome. But he played against great competition. You know, and we've all seen him throw spot on where he'll – throw up anticipation and you know, hit those receivers, Olave out there and Wilson and all those guys. So, you know, it's going to be a battle, I think. And then Zach Wilson didn't play against great competition. In fact, he probably played against the same competition that Trey Lance played a year ago, because, you know, the Missouri Valley Conference is really, really, really good. And people that don't see their games don't realize how good they really are. And they have more people that go to the pros than the Mountain West and a lot of other Sun Belt and all those other ones. So, you know, but anyway, so I think that they're going to be in the mix there. And then, of course, Trevor Lawrence has been the big dog for quite a while.
He has been. Dan Shonka joining us here at 3:43 on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Turning to the local angle, you got a couple of Hawkeyes and a couple of Panthers as well that are going to be suiting up.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, I wanted to see Alaric Jackson take another step forward. You know, when before he got injured and was out, you know, a year ago, I thought that, you know, he'd probably be a second round guy. I really felt good about, you know, that second round, but you know, plus I like Detroit guys. I mean, I don't know. It's just in my scouting experience, Detroit kids are really tough football players. And I mean, they're just, they're smart, they're physical, they learn quickly. And I don't know what it is, that pocket up there in Detroit, Michigan puts out a lot of great football players. And I thought Alaric, even though he's a Canadian who came across the lake, I guess, you know, that I thought he'd take another step up, but I didn't see that. And I hope he really shows out well on Saturday. I mean, he's got the technique and everything, but I just, you know, I want to see the eye of the tiger. I want to see him punish people. I didn't see that, you know, that this year. And for him, you know, I'm thinking right now he's probably going to be a fourth-round guy from, you know, our grades and things, unless, you know, something drastically happens and he picks it up. But then you got Goldston on the end rushing off the edge and things. And, he got those long arms and everything. And, you know, it's crazy because when we talk about those physical measurements, you know, those defensive line coaches go gaga over those guys with 34-inch arms because they can get that arm over. You know, they can grab and pull and all that a lot easier than a shorter arm guy. So I think that Chaunce is going to have a, you know, and they brought so many pass rushers in the Senior Bowl this year. When I talked to Jim like 5 weeks ago, I go, holy cow, are you going to have any defensive tackles in there? All you got is defensive ends and pass rushers. And he said that, well, we'll kick some of those guys down inside. So I think they only brought like six maybe defensive tackles or four defensive tackles for two teams. But Golson's going to get his chance to play because I think that, you know, he started really cranking it up. And it's too bad, you know, we didn't get to see Iowa play in the ball game and whatnot because I think the team was just really, you know, starting to hit their stride when – you know, the world fell apart for everybody. So, and then we go to Northern Iowa and Spencer Brown, he started out rusty like you think he would. He hadn't played for, you know, like 14 months. And boy, his first one-on-one battle, man, he got run over like a freight train. I mean, he got grass stains on his back, you know what I mean? And, but it didn't really happen the rest of the week. He started getting better. Like I said, by, you know, yesterday, I tell you what, here's a terrific athlete, a long arm guy, a smart guy, a tough guy, all that stuff you're looking for. I think you're going to see him probably go early third, unless some offensive line coach can talk the head coach and the personnel department into taking him because he is so such an excellent athlete. And, you know, and then same way, like Ellerson Smith, I mean, here's a guy, a pass rusher that they brought in, another long on guy, skinny, can rush the passer, but he can't really play the run right now. Okay, so he's probably going to go in the fourth round.
Dan, one Hawkeye not in the Senior Bowl, but probably will be the Hawkeyes' top draft pick, Davion Nixon, who had just a terrific senior season. Interesting case study because what I've looked at anywhere from first to third round, where do you weigh in on Davion Nixon?
Well, you know, I tell you what, Mark, there's not a ton of defensive interior guys out there this year, which, you know, obviously is going to help Nixon. He's going to have to get in the right scheme. I do think, though, that he can play across the front. He could play, you know, your under tackle, a defensive tackle on a four-man front. And right now, actually, we got him in the, you know, early second round. And the only defensive tackle that we have ahead of him right now in our stacks is Barmore from Alabama. And then we got Nixon, although I do like Wilson a lot from Florida State. Nobody else seems to like him like I do, but he's really a good football player, and I got him after after Nixon. But I think Nixon's going to be an early second round guy, maybe pick 50, you know. But he could move up though, because there's not a lot of them. And you got to have somebody to stop the run in there. And he's a guy that can do that, and he can penetrate, and he can cause chaos in that backfield. So, you know, I think right now I'm going to say early second, but if somebody took him, one of those late teams, and we know Kansas City's sitting there, you know, late in Tampa, and at, so that'd be a great place for him to go.
Yeah, could do a lot worse. We'll see. We'll see.
Yes.
Did it surprise you and a lot of your colleagues out there that basically all of the folks that played at Iowa State have decided not to get into the draft and are coming back for one more year with Matt Campbell?
You know, it did. It surprised a lot of people. In fact, we had invited, guys like Chase Allen, you know, to the East West. And then I talked to him. You know, his dad, of course, was the head coach up at Northern Iowa for years. And he was head coach at Kansas and Missouri State and this and that. And Chase is really a super smart guy. And I would have loved to have him there because I love those smart guys that can really catch and are athletic. But no, you're exactly right. Now, you know, Bailey, Jaquan Bailey, the, you know, all-time leading sack guy at Iowa State, he is coming out. Good kid and all that. Now, he's a little more compact, doesn't have those real long arms in there. But he kind of reminds me of Shaq Barrett, who I got out of Shaq was at Nebraska Omaha. They dropped football. Then he went to Colorado State, and I got him in the East-West game to show what he could do. And, of course, he had 19 sacks last year in the NFL, and this year he had 170-some pressures, and he had 3 sacks the other day against, in the game, the championship game the other last Sunday. So, you know, Bailey might be that kind of guy that could stand up, go down. He's about the same size as Shaq, and but Shaq was just he was a relentless, never quit kind of guy. And if Jaquan can do that, then he'll be in the mix. But Jaquan's coming out, and then Sonar, the big, you know, defensive tackle. I'm sorry, the tight end. Somebody may make him an offensive tackle because he is so darn big. But you know what? The kid's a heck of an athlete that I don't think a lot of people realize how athletic that big guy is. So there's a couple Iowa State guys. And then Nwangu, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, Nwangu, yeah.
Yeah, Nwangu. I mean, he's got speed. He's going to go maybe as a free agent, late round guy, because he can return kicks and he's got juice. So, you know, there's a few guys that are going to get some looks at, you know, the NFL this year.
Dan, last one from me. I think my amateur opinion, anybody who gets the big tackle Sewell out of Oregon, that's going to be a jewel, a plug and play guy for 10, 12 years, even though he missed this year. What say you?
Yeah, and I think so. I mean, we got him. Now, if I was the Jets, and I know they know what they're going to do, and you recall, like 3 or 4 years ago, everybody was jumping up and down for Sam Darnold, and I'm looking around saying, well, they're riding that train by themselves because Sam Darnold's got – he's like a cow on ice when he throws. And then I said that, you know, here's a guy that when you're a turnover machine – you're going to be a turnover machine. That doesn't change when you get in the NFL. So depending on what they do with him, I mean, to me, if you got 2 big tackles, then you can go to town. You could take him at number 2. So then, you know, see what Sam can do this year. And then they got Becton last year out of Louisville, who, you know, was, a monster for them when he wasn't injured. So they have 2 bookend tackles. Now, Miami, they could certainly use him, take him at 3. So, if he drops to 6, that would really surprise me. And that's, 5, the Bengals. I just can't see it, him going, far, because he's got to go 2 or 3, because if he falls anything farther, then, hey, somebody, like you said, is going to have a Pro Bowl-type tackle for 10 years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Joe Burrow does need help to keep him off the ground, as they learned this year. No doubt about that. All right, enjoy Arizona. We'll talk many more times, Dan, as we get closer and closer, inch our way toward the draft. But always good to catch up with you, and keep up the great work at our lands.
Same here, guys. Great talking to you, and stay warm.
We will try. Thank you. Dan Chalk of Arlad Scouting Service joining us here in the gym class on KGYM here at 3:53. We'll take a quick break, come back, and have more for you after this here on KGYM.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Experience the benefit of Blue with a Medicare supplement plan from Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. With our plans, you'll enjoy nationwide access to care, optional dental, vision, and hearing coverage, and more. Call 1-888-616-8927 or go online to wellmark.com/Medicare plans. You may even qualify for a special household discount. This is the benefit of Blue. Walmart Blue Dental product available to Iowa residents only. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Walmart Medicare supplement insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Find your style with Patriot Lighting from Menards. We carry a great selection of interior lighting products. Check out the Leaf Island Light. Its stylish design will add a modern touch to any kitchen with its satin nickel frame and graphite accents. Just $149.99. The Brooklyn Island Light comes with vintage style bulbs and has an industrial feel. Right now it's only $189.99. Save on everything to update your home now at Menards. Price is good through Sunday, January 31st.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, thanks to Dan Schonk of Our Lad Scouting Service for joining us here on the program today. And we'll talk more with him as we get closer and closer to things as far as the NFL draft is concerned. Don't forget, winter storm warning in effect starting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and it goes through noon on Sunday. Could see 4 to 9 inches of snow. Maybe a little bit of ice as well. We shall see. Basketball coming your way tonight. Wash hosting Linmar, doubleheader, 550, 107.5 FM, 106.3 FM, boys basketball. West hosting Xavier coming up this evening. Tomorrow, Marion at Center Point Urbana, girl-boy doubleheader, moved up to 1045 pregame on 107.5 FM. That'll be coming up tomorrow. Kudos and congratulations, Mark, to Iowa State women's coach Bill Fenley, who picked up his 700th victory in his coaching career last night, as Iowa State had to hold off a game Kansas State team down in Manhattan. And congratulations to Bill Fenley.
Yeah, no question. Only a couple dozen coaches have reached that milestone of 700, and it has a lot to do with longevity, but it has a lot to do with being a pretty darn good basketball coach.
Yeah, and he is. And Iowa State continues to be right up there as far as the Big 12. Tough one yesterday for the Iowa women as they fell for the second time at home this year. And Northwestern just seems to have their number, and maybe especially Caitlin Clark's number.
Yeah, and the number of 23 turnovers was huge, working against Iowa. Zanano had a terrific game. Clark had a terrific second half, but just could not get it done with all those turnovers.
No, just could not do it. And the Hawkeyes fall in that particular contest. Maryland still leading the Big Ten. Iowa, I think, now two or three games behind Brenda Freeze and the Terps. All right, Mark, Iowa, Illinois tonight. What do you think?
A close game, a hard-fought game. But I think it's going to be an Illinois victory. I think without C.J. Frederick adding another three-point threat, I could be wrong. He may play. That would be wonderful. But I'm going to say he's not going to play. And therefore, Jordan Bohannon is the guy you need to defend. Wieskamp is capable, certainly. But I just think it's going to be a tooth-and-nail game going down to the wire.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I have to give the edge to the Fighting Illini in this one here tonight. Both teams really need this game, but Illinois may need it a tick better, a tick more than Iowa does. And I don't think Frederick's going to go. If he does, perhaps Iowa's got a shot. But this reminds me a lot of Gonzaga Light here a little bit with Illinois, and I just think there's a little bit too much firepower there, and as far as the matchups are concerned, and with DeSumo getting to the basket, I think Illinois wins a close one, 6 or 7, right in there. But we'll see. We'll see what happens out there. Mike Loss will talk about it with us coming up on Monday. He is in Champaign as we speak, and we will talk to you tonight over at Washington and tomorrow up at Center Point. Have a good weekend, Mark.
You as well. Talk to you Monday.
Everybody have a good weekend. Todd and Alex are next. KGYM.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, straight talk, why?